Thank you so much. Thanks, Deans. I think it was an extraordinary weekend. The Lord has really moved in. I drove here this morning. Maybe I should start there. And I said, thank you, Lord, that you do what you say in your word you do. You come to heal the broken hearts and you set the captives free. And that is exactly what happened this weekend. But to bring it home for you, I'm going to ask Lizelle to just share in 1 minute what it meant for her. I have checked this with your wife, Jens.
Good morning, everyone. Well, when Rude asked me this morning if I could share, and I was like, I don't think so. But then it was just God touching me on my shoulder saying, listen, I've set you free, so why not share it? Well, for the past few months, I've had this 3 words just that stuck with me: obedience, intimacy, and freedom. And it didn't make sense at all. But I know I had to be obedient towards God and His Word. And I was seeking that intimacy. And yeah, I think I've had the freedom, but the freedom wasn't there yet. So yesterday, when we split up into groups and we just start praying for one another, and yeah, God just showed me this picture of a fire, but there was a small little flame that was burning, and He just wanted to put wood onto it, but every time I stop Him, and I ask God, but why? Because for me, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm out there. I want to be there for you. And then He just pointed out fear. I've had so much fear. Fear of basically everything that's been happening. Or everything that, yeah, there was just fear. And I just asked God to just take that away. Because I don't want it. It's not from you. I don't want it. And I started weeping. The last time I remember I was crying was 15 years ago at my mom's funeral. And yesterday it felt like a house pump was all over me and just runs out everything. So yeah, God is faithful. And I mean, it's been some time since I've started praying, just asking Him to take this fear away. And I can say yesterday it happened.
Amen. Amen. And then Tracy and Hannah are also going to share what this weekend meant to her.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Just the theme of the weekend was a wise woman builds. And so the things that we spoke about was really our identity in Christ, and being sure of where He has planted us. And then a theme that came through very strongly was building consistently where you are. And I think a lot of us ladies just felt a lot more sure of where we are and of the fact that God wants us there. And of course, being on a ladies' retreat is always a massive blessing. Well, the men wouldn't know, but it's like being in heaven, because the singing sounds like a host of angels. It's just beautiful. And it's like being in the world where the world is the right way up, because it feels to me that the world that we live in is kind of the wrong way around most of the time. So that is always a blessing. But what I want to share with you personally is I was speaking to the Lord in the week, you know, and I've known the Lord for a long time, and the Lord has spoken to me many times, and He's used people to minister to me many times. But no one has ever brought a word of knowledge to me without knowing my circumstances. And I said to the Lord this week, when is that going to happen, Lord? Like, when is someone going to come and speak to me about something that they have no knowledge of? And it happened before the conference began this weekend. And we were having a facilitators meeting, and Nordine asked us to pray for each other. And the girl who prayed for me is a young girl, much younger than me. And she brought a word that was absolutely spot on. And it was like the Lord just saying to me, I love you. And I see you and I acknowledge you and you are beautiful. And that was really very special. So for me, I want to encourage you to be obedient. Go to the things that are out there for you to go to. Go to small group, go to church. If you can make it to a conference, do it, because God is faithful. He will meet you there.
Amen. Thank you. And I want to thank you as a congregation. Every time this weekend somebody walked in, they just came to me and said, it's such a warm atmosphere. It's such holiness we're experiencing here. Then I will say to them, I don't think it's the retreat. I think it's the congregation that's praying. I think you're picking up the spirit of the congregation. So thank you for creating a spiritual space for us where we could have just entered and took it further. Thank you so much for that. So, yes, so this weekend was amazing. We received the word of God. Beryl and Christelle of LL Ministries came to minister here, and then Danelle Estrazen from Shofar Malmesbury, Duval's wife, ministered the Friday evening. And it was really, the Lord was amazing. It's like I've got a fire in me and I want to pass it on, but you can't see it and I don't know how to pass it on. That's how I feel this morning. So this morning we're going to speak on the seed of the word. What does God's word does to us when we read his word? And I think we as Christians, we sometimes forget how valuable God's word is. What it does for us and for our spiritual lives when we read the word of God. And that's what we're going to have a look at this morning. When I was a little girl in primary school, my dad bought a stud ram. And I don't know if you know what the cost is, the price is of a stud ram. It's very expensive. I grew up in a fairly poor home. We made our own butter, baked our own bread, had our own chickens. We slaughtered our own chickens. We didn't have money. For the first time in my life, I ate out, I think, when I was married. And it's still not a very special occasion to me. A home-cooked meal is still more special to me because that's the way I grew up. So that's just a little part of where I come from. And my dad bought this stud ram. My mom and dad were not in unity about it. Needless to say, for a week there was hostility in our home. Mom and dad didn't speak to each other about the stud ram. So here we go to the auction. We pick up the stud ram. My dad puts it in a camp. The next morning he wanted to release the stud ram, put it with the ewes, and the stud ram was gone. Needless to say, the hostility increased in our household. So I decided I can't go with my mom because, you know what we as women do when we're really unhappy with our husband? And so I realized, no. And just now I also become the guilty part. I'm going to go with my dad. To cut a lot of detail, we found the ram stuck between, a fence. Its ear was torn. Nose was bleeding, the lip was torn, and really was in a very bad shape. And I looked at my dad, very fearful. I said to him, now you are in trouble. And he said to me, look at this sheep. Have a good look. I didn't have to look. I looked already. And he said to me, I bought the sheep for the reproduction of its seed, not for the way what it looks like. The condition this sheep is in right now has nothing to do with the seed production of the seed, of the sheep. And that is the word of God. We as Christians, we're sometimes in a bad shape. But when we read the word of God, there's a seed within us that God wants to grow and reproduce. And our condition has nothing to do with that godly seed of the word of God in our lives. And that is what we're going to discuss this morning. What does Bible stand for? The older people might know. Because it's on the screen now. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Why are we reading the Bible? How will we know how to live? How will we know how to worship? How will we know how to pray? How will we know how to live a married life? How would we know how to live a single life? It's our instruction manual, which we have to follow before we leave the earth. Because once we've left the earth, there's no instruction manual in heaven. God has left an instruction manual for us. Now on that point, I want to share you a story about an instruction manual. 2 Decembers ago, our washing machine breaks. You know what happens with a charismatic Christian when your washing machine breaks in December? You lay hands on it, you speak to it, you command it, because you're not going to give up your holiday money for the washing machine. Well, needless to say, we stayed at home, we went to buy a washing machine. And I said to Mac, very typical, Mac said to me, Nordine, let's just buy a decent one, and because it shouldn't break after 15 years. Those were the exact words, or 20 years, of my husband. I'm like, I think 20 years is quite fine. He's like, no, 50. We're going to buy one that will last the next 50 years. So I said to him, well, I'm going to go to Game, and I want exactly the same one, because I don't want to read the instruction manual. I don't want to figure out how it works. You need to push the buttons, and it works. So we got exactly the same one, exactly the same brand. I took the instruction manual because I know how the machine works, threw it in the dustbin. A day later, I'm like, Mac, that instruction manual right at the bottom of the bin, is there any way that we can put all the waste in another black bag that I can reach the instruction manual again? Because I guess I have to read it. So I read through the instruction manual. That's exactly what we did. So I read the instruction manual. Couldn't figure out how this machine works. My solution is we need to give it back. It's not the same one like we bought 20 years ago. I need the same one. I asked them for the same one. So Max said, no, I think this is it. Because he might help us. Okay, so we needed to phone Gang. And it will be an equal revelation to you today. A washing machine doesn't work if the outlet doesn't work and the inlet doesn't work. It was a revelation to me. You need to put water in the washing machine. That I knew. How it got there, I never knew. There's an inflow. But if there's not an outlet, it's also not working. And I stood there, I said to the guy, I want to kiss you. You've just opened this revelation to us. I'm a Christian. I always compare Christianity to Woolworth's roses. It looks fantastic, but it smells like nothing. But now I've got a new example. We're like washing machines. We need an outlet, the Spirit of God, the water that we need to allow into our lives. The washing powder is the Word of God that cleanses us. But then, after it cleanses us, we need an outlet for the nations, for communities, for the people out there, so that we get rid of all our dirty water. Please don't let all your dirty water go to your community. But you get what I'm saying. And if we're not working, what do we do first? If I'm as a Christian, if my life is not working out, what do? I have to go read my instruction manual. How do I work? What am I supposed to do? I have a function. I have a mandate. If that doesn't work, what do then? I call on the man who services me. Because the Word of God says, those who call on the name of the Lord shall be, not always for salvation, saved from your situation, saved from yourself, saved from a thinking pattern. Those who call on a name shall be saved. So think of yourself as a washing machine with an inlet and outlet this morning. So this morning we're going to have a look at what does God do in our lives when we read the Word of God. Before we carry on, can we stand and pray together? Praying together works like this. You're going to walk to somebody. First, I'm going to explain to you step by step what to do. You're going to walk to somebody that you have never prayed for, and you just hold that person by the arm. Woman with woman, men with men. That's the first step. That means walking to someone that you've never prayed with before. Okay, step two. I said you just hold the person by its arm. There's another lady. Who's willing to pray with more than one other person? Tracy. Oh, Tracy. Okay, step two. Just quietly think of two scriptures that you know off by heart. Just two. That's step two. Have you got two scriptures? Even if you only can paraphrase it, that's okay. Step three is, you're going to pray those two scriptures over the person you're praying with. Okay? So you're going to pray for each other, but you're praying scripture over each other. Okay, pray. Except that the Word of God is our instruction manual, it's also Jesus' love letters to us. Who has ever received a love letter? Oh, Moja is very excited about his love letter. Do you know, can you remember that when you received that love letter, Mac and I got engaged in the days where you still write handwritten letters. I love those. Emails, okay. I'm talking about real love letters. The cards and the perfume on the paper. Do you know what I'm talking about? So when you open up, you smell the girl. And whatever she says there, you're the strongest, you're the bravest, you're the best. You just believe it. It just changes your identity. Because you just know she's telling the truth. I mean, all the other girls before her lied. She's the first one that realized how amazing you are. Vice versa, when you read that letter of the guy, you just knew, this is the guy. I mean, this is the godly man that can see who I am. We believed it. We shaped our identities according to that. After you read the love letter from your boyfriend or girlfriend, you just want to serve them more. Am I right? Because you're so thankful for the ability and for the gifts they see in you. Am I right? And Jesus is the same. He writes love letters to us. So let's go to 1 John 4 verse 18. He says, when you read my love letters, such love has not fear because perfect love expels all fear. Ladies, when he wrote you a love letter and said, don't worry, I'll sort it out with Tiens for you. Did you believe him? Were you fearful? No, because Max said he will sort Tiens out. I'm safe now. If we are afraid, it's for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced perfect love. And that is what Jesus wants to say to us this morning. He's there to protect us. He's there to lead us. We should just go and read his love letters so that we can experience his full love, his heart of love for us, so that we not be fearful of punishment. I think it is so amazing. Let's carry on. What does the word of God says? What happens when we read his word? Okay. I will not embarrass anyone. Quickly close, all of you close your eyes. I just want you to be honest before the Lord. Who is diligently faithful with your quiet times? Put up your hands. Okay. Everybody can open their eyes. So I hope, congregation, when you hear this morning what happens when you read the Word of God, that you will become diligent with your times, with the lover of your soul, with the one that writes love letters to you, the one that writes manuals to you to solve all your problems. The first thing that happens when we read the Word of God, there's a seed that falls in our spirit. My dad is a farmer. Another shocking thing I'm going to share with you this morning is he sows wheat. And you will not believe me, but he never gets a corn harvest. Why do you think is that? Why? Why do you think he never harvests corn? Because he didn't sow it. A seed only multiplies after its own kind. If we don't spend time in the Word of God, there's no harvest. If we spend time in the Word of God, there's a harvest. Because a seed multiplies after its own kind. God's Word is like seed. So let's go to the scriptures. It says, a farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across the field, let's say here, this field the scripture speaks of is my heart and your heart. Okay? Jesus is the farmer. Some seed fell on footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for a lack of moisture. This morning I gave you the example of the washing machine. Why do we need moisture? I compared water to the Holy Spirit. This scripture says, we read the Word of God, but our hearts are as hard as rocks. So God's Word, true to His Word, wants to grow there. But we don't allow the Spirit of God to moisture it. Our hearts are dry, full of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, offense. So it's a place where the Holy Spirit cannot feed. Because the Word of God says, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. He softens our heart. We become repentive. We forgive. Is that true? Okay. So this person read the Word of God. My heart was too hard. Received the Word of God, but it couldn't grow because of a lack of the Spirit of God. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out with tender plants. And that is all the chacha in your heart. All the thorns, all the bad stuff. So it grows, but those things you nurture more than the Word of God. You spend more time on those things than the Word of God. So God's Word again started growing, but those things choked it up and it couldn't grow. Okay. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. Receptive heart. I want to learn from the Word of God. I want to receive the Word of God. I want to be diligent with the Word of God. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. Don't you get excited? Somebody came to see me 2 weeks ago. She says, Nordine, we need to do deliverance on this girl. She gave her life to Jesus, but I'm so scared because the Word of God says the demons come back 7 times more. I said, don't you worry, my girl. The Word of God says if you spend time in His Word, that Word, He will multiply 100 times. It's stronger than the demons. just teach her to be diligent with the word of God. I get excited. When he said this, he called out, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. God says this morning, if you have ears, listen and understand that spending time in my word is of vital importance of your life. It's going to strengthen you. His disciple asked him what this parable meant. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. I think it's the most amazing words. When we spend time with the word of God, God says, Christians, I give you the permission, the keys. You are allowed to know what is on my heart. You are allowed to know the secrets of my kingdom because you're an outlet to the people around you. If you don't spend time with the word of God, you will not know the secrets of the kingdom of God. How amazing is that? But I use parables to teach so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't see. When they hear, they won't understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. This is where the congregation says, yes and amen. And that is why the word of God says in Proverbs, guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. Whenever I speak to people, I know what is on their hearts. Because that's the things they speak all the time. Their idols, the things that are more important, their issues, their whatever. God says, let my word be a seed in your heart. Because I will multiply that seed 100-fold. You know what that sounds like? When you from now on pray for people, start memorizing those scriptures and you just pray the word of God over their lives because that word will multiply 100-fold. Okay, so then the second thing, when you spend time in the word of God, God's word is like rain and God's word is like snow. Let's read the scripture where it says it. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. That's exactly what rain does. Why did we pray for rain in our country? Why? Two real reasons. Food and water. Am I right? We can't plant any crops if we don't have a supply of water to water the plants. Mac and I went to visit his mom. She was in hospital over the July holidays. The Free State, there are towns that has no water supply in their towns. Nothing, zero, zilch. When they open their taps, they can't bathe, they can't shower, they can't cook, they can't drink running water. There is nothing. When we don't spend the time in the Word of God, people will open the tap, but there's nothing inside. There's no supply. It rains. You know what? I follow this. I've got a cousin that's into nature and stuff. And I don't. You know what? I go drink coffee with her once a month. And I say, "Dude, what are you busy with?" And she explains to me the science of this plant and the science of that plant. And I say, "That's amazing. I have no idea what she's telling me, but she's amazing. I just know she sounds amazing to me." And she invited me to this Facebook page about the water levels of the dams in South Africa. And all I know is this Facebook page went active last week and everybody comments on the rain. We're so thankful for the rain. The dams get filled. Why are we excited? It fills towns, communities. It gives us water. It gives us supply. Amen? There's an immediate relief when we have reservoirs that is full. When we have dams that are full. There's an immediate supply. God's word works like that. Remember, was it Elijah that prayed, said, send the rain, Lord, and God sent the rain. My dad, one of the things he farms with is fynbos, flowers. And he kept saying to me a few weeks back, he says, we need rain. Otherwise, the flowers can't produce. There's no reproduction without the Spirit of God. There's no reproduction if we don't feed off the water of the Word of God. There's an immediate relief when it rains, when we have water supply. On the other hand, snow works differently. The Bells used to live in the Ukraine. They will tell you about snow. Snow just comes down softly. It doesn't water the earth. It just covers the earth. Layer upon layer upon layer upon layer, and just goes thicker and thicker and thicker. It doesn't give water to the earth. Am I right? Nothing grows excessively with snow supply. God says, my word is like rain and like snow. But once the snow starts melting, it has the same effect. But can you see, it takes longer. And God wants us, who wants to remind us this morning, that his word is like rain. There's often a rhema word, the now word, the quick breakthrough. We call out, Lord, send your rain, Lord, send your answer, and we receive your answer. But there are other times that we just keep reading the word of God. Keep being faithful, because God built us layer upon layer upon layer. And you know why? God doesn't always want to supply us the easy way. This is the reason. Preach the word of God. Be prepared for whether the time is a rain season or a snow season. Whether you feel you're ready or not, what are you to preach? Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Where do we get good teaching? In the word. So God says, my children, you can't just be prepared when the reservoir is full. You need to be prepared when I just lay layers in your life. Not only when it's comfortable, but also when it's not comfortable. God says, church, I need you to be ready in season and out of season. There's no perfect season. But when we read the word of God, it happens. When we read the word of God, God's word is like fire. Here's the scripture. Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? What does fire do? Let's be very practical this morning. When we have the fires here in the mountains, we pray that the fire should stop. Why? It destroys. What else? It can be a danger. What else? Why do we need the fire? Cleansing. My dad also had fire in his farm. His farm used to be evergreen. It's just this black patch. So I said to him, aren't you sad? He says, no, because in 7 years' time, I'm going to have 1,000% better crop than what I've had now. That's what fire does. That's what God's word does to us. When we carry God's word, it's a danger to the enemy. It destroys the work of the enemy, the word of God. We've got a weapon. We carry God's fire. You know what else fire does? It cleanses us. It purifies our hearts. That is what happened this weekend with the ladies. All we heard was the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. And then we go, oh, what an amazing speaker. The speaker just pronounced, announced, declared the word of God that cleanses, that burns everything away inside of us that God says, I'm not well pleased with that. Because I'm coming back to fetch a pure and spotless bride. And therefore, when you read my word, my fire has to consume all the sin. It's my fire that cleanses. Amen? I know, none of us want fire. No one wants the fire word. We all want the rain word. The same scripture says, I skipped one. Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? Oh man, I think this is my favorite one. When we read the word of God, and I've got an issue with Lizelle. And I'm like, I so love Friday somebody was offended with somebody else. And she came to me, she said, I know you're going to tell me to sort this out with Brett, But I want to be offended for the next week with bread. I said, well, there you go. Just read your word of God, because God's word says he will come with a hammer and he will smash your offense open and you will start repenting. When we have a hardened heart, God, when we read God's word, his word will come and smash our hearts to pieces and say, now I sent my fire. Now I sent my rain. Isn't it amazing? All the strongholds in our lives, all the things we can't get rid of, when we read the word of God, God's word says, my word is like fire and my word is like a hammer that will smash it to pieces. The well-known one that I think most of you will know. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Somewhere last year, one of our friends from Namibia's daughter was attacked one evening in Stellenbosch while she walked from class. So I only received the message very late at night. So I phoned their daughter, and she was still at the police office. And I rushed to her and I said, are you okay? She said, oh, Tanya, I got such a fright. I said, where were you walking? She said, I took a shortcut where there were no lights. I said, so why on earth would you do that? God, even God's word is clear. When there's darkness on your road, you need to change direction. Why? Because when we read God's word, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. When there's darkness, you're in the wrong road. The enemy is going to take you out. He's going to attack you. He's going to lie to you. He's going to fight with you. And eventually, you will be convinced that God has left you and forsaken you. Because you're not spending your time in his word. That when you put your foot down, oh, there's a light. This is the way. Oh, this is like a runway. The airplane comes in and knows exactly where to park that airplane. Why is that? His road is enlightened. When it becomes dark where we walk, it's because the enemy wants to isolate us. He wants to take us out. Read the word of God so that you will have a lamp at your feet and a light unto your path. Amen? When we read the word of God, it builds our faith. It's always so funny when I'm in prayer meetings. Don't tell other congregations. And they say, Lord, give us more faith. And then I have to stop the prayer meeting and say, no, read the word of God. That builds your faith. You can't pray for more faith. You get more faith as you know, get to know the word of God. It says, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Oh, Lord, please, please, Lord, please give us more faith. Oh, stop. Can you just fast and pray and spend time in your word of God? Because as we get to know the word of God, our faith gets built. The enemy plans for us to walk on dry, dreary, dark roads. God's word says, when we follow him, he will make our feet as swift as a deer's feet. We will walk safely on high places. See, I know the word of God, so I know how to fight. I know where my faith is. My faith is not in our economy. Oh, come on. Our government. A government has never solved a country's problems. Never. Jesus solves our problems. But we put our faith in other things because we don't know the word of God. Read the word of God so that God can start building your faith. And you don't have to pray for more faith. That is why God says, when there's a huge mountain in front of you, a huge problem, you will say to them, because I know what my God has promised, I know the love of my Father because I read my word, this mountain, I will command you to move in the name of Jesus Christ. But if we don't read the word of God, you know what we do? We turn our back on the mountain. And we say, Martha, can you pray for this mountain for me, please? I'm still not receiving the Holy Spirit. Can you keep on praying, please, for my mountain? Because we want to ride on other people's faith, who is faithful in reading the word of God. It goes very quiet here this morning. I'm going to run out of here, Tians. When we read the word of God, the Holy Spirit gets activated in our lives. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. When we spend time in the word of God, there's a rebirth and infilling all the time. And when we then spend time with other people, even believers or unbelievers, they will recognize this life within you that I recognize. What is that life? How often have we heard people giving their testimonies that other people came to them and said to them, what have you got? It's because they have an activation of the Spirit of God as they read the Word of God. I just love that story of the woman who suffered with the issue of blood. Because she knew, if I can only come this little bit in the presence of God, life will sprung forth. Why? Because Jesus is the one that walks on the water. Jesus is the one that opens the Red Sea. Jesus is the one that causes water to gush from rocks. Jesus is the one that communicates to humans through donkeys. Jesus is the one that can cause a fish to swallow a man because of his rebellion. Jesus activates the Spirit of God in our lives when we spend time in the Word of God. Can I tell you why I love that story of the woman who suffered with the issue of blood for 12 years? Okay, so let me modernize that for you. There's a lady in your church that for the last year is suffering with the issue of blood. She has to stay in her house. She cannot go to any event. She cannot come to church as regularly. She's trapped. And here in Franschhoek is a march, a Jesus march with 10,000 people. And Jesus is sovereign. He's majestic. He's all-knowing. But he stops. He says, somebody touched me. Amongst 10,000 people, do you think if you walk amongst 10,000 people, nobody will be touching you? You know what I believe happened? And I'm going to shout very loud now, so prepare yourselves. I think there was a message, there was a sound in the spiritual atmosphere that sounded like this. Jesus, I'm hungry! Jesus, I'm thirsty! You're the only one! You're the only one, Jesus! There was a pure heart that Jesus knew. This one has got the life of Christ within her. She carries life where she connects with people. Even me, as the godly one, I'm aware of this. She's filled with the Word of God. She's filled with a sword in her hand. She's filled with fire, with rain, with water, with the washing of the Spirit. Would you agree? So that is why we pray for people and touching people. Look, God is sovereign, but we feel empty. We've got nothing to give. What do we have to give out to others? I want to end off with this one. And I want to challenge you as congregation. When you spend time in the Word of God, I know we sit with a modern generation. But please, put your cell phone off and pack it away. Read the Word of God. The enemy knows. He distracts us. Just that quick SMS coming in. Just that this. And you know what? I know we're not in 1953. But in 1953, they had journals. So that there's an inheritance for the generations to come. Put your cell phone away, because in 2 years' time, you lose that journal that you so convince yourself you've made godly notes on. So that your children and children's children can read how God spoke to you and how amazing this was. You know one thing that is amazing with the boy with the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, the one thing that stands out to me was this. Jesus says to his disciples, okay, it's lunchtime. Come on, guys. Get them together. We're going to have lunch now. And I said, oh no, Jesus, this sounds like Christians today. Oh no, Jesus, there's a cafe down. Really, they can go buy food. Jesus says, no, you feed them. You've got the Word of God. You spend time with me. You feed them. And they're eating. They said, Lord, there are so many men here. We don't even have lunch. And Jesus asks the following question. What have you got in your hand? And that is what Jesus wants to ask you this morning. And there's a boy that says, my mommy packed not salmon but sardines, small ones, not big ones, 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread. And Jesus says, give it to me. What happens when we hand it to Jesus? He feeds the thousands. You know what is very significant of this story? For this generation that Jesus discipled and walked the road with, they had nothing to give. He had to go fetch from the younger generation to feed the older generation. When you send your kids out to kids' church, I want to ask you, jump up and lay hands on you, because God, there will be a time that God is going to fetch from the younger generation to get through the older ones, because we become prideful, because we know so much more of Christ. We know so much more of Christianity. But they just bring, because they're so innocent, just what is in their hands. And then God multiplies it. The same happened to David. Saul said to him, I've got a suit that you can go to the matric farewell to charm the other guy out of the way, David and Goliath. And Saul put his suit onto David. And David said, doesn't fit me. I'll go with what I've got. Because I spent time in the Word of God. And God will kill the giants with the little bit I have in my hands. When you read your Word of God diligently, when you write down faithfully in your journal what God speaks to you, that will happen to you. A Bible in a bad condition speaks of a life in good condition. A cell phone in bad condition speaks of a life in bad condition. Pack away your cell phone. Spend time in the Word of God. The Word of God says, go into your inner room, close the door, and I will reward you by sharing my secrets with you. So can I ask that you all just close your eyes? And as you close your eyes, just see how Jesus stands before you this morning. And I just want you to ask, to just stare in his eyes. Just look him in the eye. And right now he's going to speak words into your heart, into your spirit, into your mind. And just give to him this morning what you've got in your hand. Just give your life again this morning. Say, Lord, here is my life. And listen to what he says to you.